Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to hour number two of Fans in the Pro. Deuce McAllister, Zach Street with you here for another 2 hours, and then we'll have a little high school football for you. Alan Waddell and Brad Lumine, the WWL High School Football Headquarters, today and tomorrow, bring you all of the All-State Sugar Bowl Football Prep Classic live from the Superdome on WWL HD2 here. I know one thing, we got to get the score of the game that's going on right now. Faraday and Manny, that started at 3:30. That's a 2A game. We'll get that for you. And the Wachita Christian versus Catholic of Point Coupe, the Catholic
Coupe.
Who won that game?
Oh, that was a whooping now. Yeah, that was Wachita Christian.
Yeah.
67-22.
Wachita Christian won 67-22 in that game. And then tonight, St. James and Jennings. And then tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock, Christian Garrett. We'll talk about, I don't think I'm going on too far out on a limb here, Joe Burrow and his nomination for the Heisman. I think the future Heisman winning quarterback of LSU.
I think that's safe.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going too far on a limb when I say that. And then at 11:30, we go back to our high school football preview for a noon kickoff at 1 o'clock, Oak Grove versus White Castle at 3:30. It's the 4A Warren Easton and as they take on Etna Carr. And at 7 o'clock, Acadian versus Destrehan. So don't miss any of our All-State Sugar Bowl Football Prep Classic today and tomorrow on WWL. I said, Mr. James, you would be first, and there you are. Thank you for holding, and thank you for calling in to here on WWL.
Yeah, no problem. Listen, I'm really disappointed to hear about Vaughn's passing, and I hope his family or wish his family my condolences, because I met him a couple of times. He's probably the least rated linebacker. That doesn't mean, but he was just as important as the rest of them. The last time I saw him was quite a few years ago, but he was a very physically imposing guy. I'm really disappointed to hear him pass on like this. So that means there's only two guys left, and I think Ricky was hurt a while back. I don't know how he's doing. I know Pat's going to be talking soon, and but I wish all those guys the best. And about Tell Suggs, I'm coming from that D.C. rail of Virginia, I'd be shocked to see if he doesn't go back to the Ravens. If he doesn't go back to the Ravens, that's probably some type of vendetta, because he was Mr. Raven over there. So with them winning,
he's got to pass through waivers.
I understand that. But, I mean, he's a veteran guy. I understand that. But I think somehow he's going to try to get back to the Ravens.
He's still got to pay. I mean, if a team picks him up and claims him, I mean, unless he's not going to play. And
there's
say,
the team that might do that. Someone in the
AFC
North.
Yeah, somebody. If a team picks him up, there's nothing that he can do. I mean, he can say, okay, I don't want to play. And James, thank you for the call. He can say, I don't want to play. But, I mean, if a team claims you, you're claimed. And so I don't see a team allowing him to go back to the Ravens, particularly, you know, knowing that he's had a lot of success there. We do have Pat Swilling on with us now. Pat, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing okay, dudes. How are you guys?
We're doing pretty good. I obviously want to tell you as well, and you know, Vaughn's family, man, we're thinking about you and praying for you guys, man.
Well, we really appreciate it. And, you know, it's been a tough 24, 48 hours, but you know, everyone loved Vaughn so much, and he's going to be sorely missed by us and by his family and by everyone.
Pat, I was kind of reading some articles today. Obviously, you know, you've been contacted a lot, and unfortunately, you know, you've had to do this once before You know, when Sam passed, and I always find it interesting in sports, the groups that become really special, the bonds that are created. And, you know, with you guys, it's such a unique group. And I really, when you think about the rarity of an entire position group going to the Pro Bowl together, for a team like you guys did, what was it like with that group, in terms of just the camaraderie? Because everything I've seen today about Vaughn has kind of started with a short message on, hey, man, he was a great player. And then it's, you know, 90% about what a great person that he was.
And Zach, that's all I could think about. And that still stays on my mind now, is that what a wonderful guy he was. And, you know, I guess if I said that to one of these offenses he played against and some of the running backs, they wouldn't believe it. But he was a wonderful guy. And you know, I've said this all day today. I can't remember one time that I've ever heard or seen him say anything negative about anything. He was always an enthusiastic type of a guy, always coming to work. No matter if we lost, win, or whatever, he always had something good to say about, let's get going again, let's pick it up, let's go. I mean, that's just who he was. But, you know, when I think about what made us special, man, it was our bond. You know, we truly, even to this day, I mean, we loved each other. I mean, it was a love, and it wasn't just the Dome Patrol, it was that whole group. But between me, Ricky, Sam, and Vaughn, man, it was just something special. And I can't ever remember either us being upset at either one of us, no matter what happens, whether I was Defensive Player of the Week or the Year, or Ricky was Defensive Player of the Week, or Vaughn or Sam. Hey, man, we all were Defensive Player of the Week. We all won when that guy would win. But that's the bond. That's how we felt about each other. And, you know, man, I'm not going to lie to you. It's just tough because, you know, I love Vaughn Johnson. I mean, he was just my guy. I mean, Pat, it's not just football, guys. It's more than that.
Pat, would it have been Sam or was it Vaughn that could get on Ricky to make Ricky know that, hey, look, this is what we're doing? Which one was it?
Man, let me ask you a question. Who could get on Ricky Jackson about anything? Come on, man.
Ricky gonna listen to one of those though. He gonna look at you and tell you go about your business. But he would listen. He's gonna listen to one of those two.
Hey, Deuce. The only way I got Ricky's attention is when I got three sacks, man. That's when I got Ricky Jackson's attention. But other than that, you know. But honestly, Sam Mills was the only one to kind of look at Ricky. But look, who could get Ricky? You know Ricky. There's not much you can tell Ricky Jackson.
Yeah.
Pat.
And I mean that in a good way, guys.
Pat, I got a question. Just curiosity here. You know, Vaughn had a couple of nicknames. Super Collider is pretty self-explanatory. But I saw Meat, and I'm just curious how he grabbed that one.
That comes from that head, because on each side of his head, he had a piece of meat that would hang out. So when he put that helmet on, you know, it took a little time to slide that helmet over that meat. But I'm going to tell you something, guys. You're talking about using that helmet and that head as a tool. I mean, Roger Craig, every time I see Roger Craig, he looks at me, and he looks at me kind of sideways, as if he thinks Vaughn Johnson is behind me, because he hit Roger Craig so hard one day, guys, until Roger Craig was out of the ball game. He had no idea where he was at. You're talking about concussion, but that's what he did to a lot of different guys. Vaughn Johnson was one of the best, one of the greatest inside linebackers to ever play the game. At 6'3", 265 pounds, and could run 4.4, 4.5. He could flat get it, man, at that size.
Have you had has the family thought about, you know, how they want to obviously, you know, honor him here and back in his hometown? I know it's obviously early in that process, but we want to be able to let the fans know if there's something that they could do, you know, to be able to.
Well, I talked to Ricky a little bit about that, and they're planning some things now. But Deuce, I'm going to say this: I hope the Saints will honor him by putting him on in the Ring of Honor and on that wall in the Dome. Because he was one of the guys that paved the way for where we are today, and he deserves that. And I was hoping that would happen before he passed. But if anything that the fans could do is start calling the Saints and telling them to put the great Vaughn Johnson on that wall and in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
He deserves it. Yeah, he deserves it.
I think that would be outstanding. I mean, you talk about, You know, having some of the guys that laid the groundwork for this organization to be where they are. When you talk about the Saints and you talk about a team that did it, it was the Dome Patrol. It was definitely the Dome Patrol. And so, Pat, man, like I said, we're thinking about you, and let Von family know that we're definitely thinking about them. And thank you for giving us just a little bit of your time.
And, guys, thank you all. And to the fans and Zach and everybody, we love Von Johnson, and we always will.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I definitely agree with you, you know, and I know it's something that they're hoping to do. You know, you talk about Sam Mills obviously passing a few years ago as well, and, you know, being able to honor that group, you know, just that Dome Patrol for what they
meant. It's one of the greatest position groups in the history of football.
No,
right?
I agree.
And it really was up until, you know, the Saints won a Super Bowl, mm-hmm. that was what Saints fans hung their hat on was the Dome Patrol.
I agree.
I mean, it was the organization around the country was, you know, the Dome Patrol. And, you know, the thing about Von that, you know, Von probably got overshadowed a little bit.
Because of the other three.
Because of the other three. And not even because, I mean, when you really look at them, you know, obviously Patton and Ricky are rushing the quarterback. They're getting sacks. And so that's, you know, if you're a defensive player, nothing gets you more attention than that. And then Sam was you know, the play caller. On the defensive side of the
undersized,
ball.
The undersized. He was just a plugger.
Exactly. And so, you know, it was kind of like Von didn't have a title outside of, you know, just really good football player. Mm-hmm. And so he almost got overshadowed a little bit. But, yeah, man, heck of a player. It's sad. And I know his wife, Shirley, and the entire Johnson family are in everybody's prayers. It's a sad deal today for the Saints, Saints fans everywhere.
Yep. We're going to take a break off of that and just like Miss Shirley and that Dome Patrol, that brotherhood, all those guys, those Saints teammates of Von Johnson, man. We're thinking about you guys, man, and just hold your head up. Remember the good things with him. This is Deuce and Zach on Fans and the Pro. That was the clip that Pat talked about of Von hitting Roger Craig, and that was his first game. That was his first game back, and Roger Craig basically he didn't know who Von Johnson was, but after that hit, he knew exactly who he was, and he didn't want to be hit by him anymore.
Yeah, no, so Von was originally drafted by the Jacksonville Bulls in the USFL,
mm-hmm.
and the Saints. And I don't remember exactly how this worked.
They're like four or five guys. Yeah,
they got him in the supplemental draft, and so they held his rights. And so in 86, when the USFL folded, Von ended up with the Saints. And
yeah, there were four or five really good Saint players that came over from the USFL. So, you know, that's a heck of a clip, too. That's a pretty neat deal. And like you said, if you're a football fan, you know who Roger Craig is. And so he definitely remembered Von tagging him pretty good there. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go to the phone right now. I know Tyrone has been holding for us. Tyrone, thank you for calling us. What you got, man?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing pretty good. What about yourself?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Condolences to the Johnson family. I feel for that family right now. Also, but here's my question from the game: It's the last drive. San Francisco has gone after Kittle a couple of times. We stopped him. It's 4th and 2. Why do you think Dennis Allen, number one, decided to single coverage Kittle and then two, put the rookie on him?
Well, the rookie had been on him most of the day anyway. So the rookie had been on him most of the day, and so they were man. It was a man-to-man with two safeties high, and so that's basically a pretty safe coverage when you talk about, you know, a team maybe hitting you deep. You've got two safeties to kind of be that protection over the top, and so, you know, the only thing that you could have maybe went to once you saw that they were motioning Kittle over was a banjo, an in-and-out type of coverage where you would have had to been talking and passing those routes off. But that would have been asking a lot even in that certain situation as well.
But don't you think it would have been even still better to flip either and put one of the corners on him or safety on him or something like that? Just take away because Garoppolo was looking at him every time. I mean,
What do we call him? What is Chauncey? Chauncey is a corner, right? He plays the nickel corner for you.
Yeah, but, I mean, Deuce, the rookie, I mean, still, in a big situation like that, Deuce, I think it would have been better either to flip put bail on him, or even bring the corner over there. Let one of the corners play him in that situation, because you know he's going to kill him.
Well, I mean, they moved him as far as motion to see if you were in a zone or man. So, I mean, I understand. Right. You could have said, yeah, we're going to put one of the other guys, and now we're going to put Chauncey back deep as far as one of the safeties are concerned. But, I mean, I don't think that – I think they have enough trust in what Chauncey Gardner has done and what he had did in that game to say – I mean, it wasn't like Kittle before that play. How many plays had Kittle made?
Well, he hadn't made a lot of play. I got to be honest. He hadn't made a lot. But it's just,
I mean, let's be honest. In that moment, who are we really worried about? We're worried about Emmanuel Sanders.
It wasn't Kittle in that moment because, I mean, Chauncey had done a pretty good job, as well as the other guys that had been guarding him. They had done a pretty good job on Kittle up until that play. The only thing that I would say that he's going to learn is knowing the situation. And when I say that, knowing that it's 4th-and-2, I'm willing to give up that catch. If I can't knock the ball down, I'm willing to give up that catch. The thing that I cannot do is dive, because if I dive and I miss, if I dive and I miss, then that puts that safety that's supposed to be the protection, he's in a one-on-one situation there. And so that's what you can't do. Hey, look, if you catch it, you catch it. Just come up and make the tackle. Even if it's for a first down, which he was going to get if he had a did so, there's two things. Can I tackle him, and can I tackle him in bounds? Because they still had the timeout. And so that's the thing that he's going to learn. I can't knock the ball down. Let me just go make the tackle. And then the lanyard becomes, okay, I made the tackle, and I kept him in bounds. And so you forced him to have to use the timeout. I mean, but that's just a learning situation. It's easy for me to be up in the booth and tell him, yeah, that's what you got to do. But, I mean, as he gets a little older, as he understands it, he's going to know that that's the situation.
And, Deuce, that was the only reason why I thought a veteran player would have been on, because
I can't tell you that a veteran would have did that. I can't.
In those moments when things are happening real fast, sometimes the veterans make better decisions than a young rookie.
Which veteran? Let me ask you this, though, Tyrone. Which veteran would you bring over?
I would have brought in a corner on him and not Chauncey Gardner.
Right, but how many years before you're a quote unquote veteran?
Well, I mean, you're technically a veteran after 1 year, but I'm just talking about experienced players, like not one of the younger guys, and realizing how big that moment was and what I need to do and think about all of those things Deuce just described in an instant.
So you need to remove any rookies from big situations?
No, I'm not saying that, Zach. All I'm saying is in a moment like that, and you've seen it all the time. You see, even in different sports, sometimes in those big moments, and you know they want to go to that player, you want to bring over somebody that has experience, that's been in that moment, it's not their first time. That's all I'm saying.
I think that's easy to say in hindsight. I think to even suggest you knew they were going to Kittle in that situation is, I don't think there's a chance.
Yeah,
he had 28 yards receiving in that game when he made that catch.
If that's the case, I would bracket him all the way.
Yeah, but I don't think that was the case at all. As a matter of fact, if I was the Saints, I'd be as worried about them running the football. The only thing good about them running it there is that you're losing the clock. But, I mean, we hadn't stopped them in any aspect of that game. I think Deuce is completely right. The mistake in the moment is panicking and diving.
Correct.
Tyrone, you got to put the people on the field that you have available to you. There's not some stable of savvy veterans that we have sitting on the bench waiting to handle that situation.
No, Zach, that's not what I'm saying. And then, remember, I gave you two options. One, double him if you can do that.
Why would you double him, Tyrone? He had 28 yards receiving at that point.
That has not.
You wouldn't double Emmanuel Sanders in that situation?
Hold on, Zach. No, I wouldn't. Let me tell you why. I would have left our best corner on Emmanuel Sanders, and then I would have bracketed Kittle. That's me. And remember, I gave two options. Not just put on a veteran on Kittle. Also, you could have double Kittle. That's all I was saying. Those two, there's two options, not just one option. Bringing in a veteran on, you could also double it.
I got you, Mr. Tyrone. We appreciate you. Thank you for holding, and thank you for calling.
All right, thanks, buddy.
No, I understand the point. I mean, but, you know, that's us playing the game over.
It's so nice and easy to do it after it's ended, isn't it?
Yeah, that's us playing it over. But, I mean, that's what you're really looking at.
And listen, it's like my first – we watched them at a bunch lock that coverage all day long, right?
Oh, one thing they do, they move him over to bunch.
Right.
They didn't start in bunch. They moved him from one side over to bunch.
But we locked the bunch in coverage all week. So that whole game, right? So they manned, they stuck. I mean, to say lock means essentially you're not going to pass anybody off.
Correct. Correct.
The only thing that went through my mind was, is this a situation, knowing that they're in bunch, that you've been locking all day and that they've been giving you this steady dosage of lock beaters, that you switch it up and try to put them in a bind? And yet you could do that, miss the pass off, and end up in the exact same situation
where he hits the over route over.
Yeah,
coming
exactly, exactly, because you missed the pass. So.
Yeah. We can always second guess it. I'm gonna go to Mike in Texas. Mike, thanks for calling WWL.
Hey fellas, how y'all doing, man?
We doing good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. Listen, I'm just gonna make one comment on that. What you guys were just talking about with the last caller, and it just, in my opinion, just plain and simple, don't let Kittle beat you. I mean, I don't care how many catches he had before. You know they were gonna eventually go to him in a big moment. If you're going to let anybody beat you, it would be somebody else, but not him. That's the same thing they were doing to Kamara and Thomas. I mean, they wasn't going to let them beat him.
The Mike Thomas had 60 yards receiving on the Saints' last touchdown.
The last drive. Mike had 60 yards in the last drive.
Who got the end zone?
Come on, man. You got to be kidding me.
Traquan got in the end zone.
What difference does that make?
But it was the matchup that they wanted. That was the matchup that Drew saw, and he took it.
Yeah, okay, all right. I got you, but I'm just – that was my point, was somebody else had to beat us and not Kittle. I just wanted to ask you guys about Janoris, the guy that got cut by the Giants. If y'all think that, he would be able to help us, what's his name back there? The one we always picking on, number 25, right?
Eli.
He seems to be conceding throws a lot. He seems to be very fragile back there. As soon as, it was a bad play, he just seems to be too fragile. So if I just want to know from you guys, I'm going to hang up and listen. If you think that the Saints going after a cornerback like that with some experience and he seems to be pretty good, if he could help us. And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for the call.
Hard no.
And that's it?
Listen,
just a hard no.
If you saw,
just leave it alone. Just leave, don't leave it alone.
No, listen. The
hard
the,
no.
The team.
I'm going
is,
to Timmy. Leave it alone.
The team is very has said over and over and over again. We have a great locker room, and we are not willing to destroy it for one guy, even if we think there's a possibility that he helps us in some way, because the ultimate net effect is worse.
So hard no.
Hard no.
Timmy, thank you for calling WWL. Zach has spoken. Timmy in Uptown, you got a question for us?
Hello?
Timmy, yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Can you name me what team in the NFL has lost five games like the Saints, the starting quarterback for 5 weeks, and have a better record than the Saints? Which team in the NFL?
None.
That's what I thought. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And that proves that we're a good team, and, all of the detractors saying, we're doing so badly, with a 10-3 record, they need to just, be quiet and just let's get focused on the next game.
Yeah, Timmy, I mean, me and Deuce were talking on the break after we got a couple of doom and gloom calls. It's not easy. It is very, very, very hard to win games in the NFL. And no matter what you do, no matter how you try to build a team or prepare your team, it's very difficult. Seasons take on lives of their own. You lose players. You have players suddenly ascend that you didn't expect. It's very, very hard. The fact that people could be, and this word was used, disappointed at 10-3 is
– You already qualified for the playoffs.
Mind-blowing to me. It's just
you already qualified for the playoffs.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah. I don't understand it. We've got a great team. We've got a great coach, great players. I mean, look what we've done the last 2 years. I mean, isn't that evidence enough for what we can do? And, just let's play the schedule out and let's see what happens. I mean, they're worried about every little thing that happens, and you can't be worried about every little thing.
We'll be all right, Timmy. Thanks for the phone call, my man. Yeah, Saints will be all right. Saints will be all right. They got to get some healthy bodies back, but we'll see how it goes. Let me see who we got up. Mr. Billy, you'll be first up next when we come back from our break. Steven, Julio, Chance, Roland in ATL. Chance, say I'm contradicting myself. We coming back to you. Thanks for all the calls and the texts. Give us a call if you can or when you can, 504-260-1870 or text 870-870. This is Fans in the Pro with Deuce and Zach.
Now, I forgot after the last break, Deuce, that was John Cougar Mellencamp. Probably the most famous. He was the one that, like, I'm from Indiana and I'm not embarrassed, right? Like, he was okay.
So he was a true Hoosier.
He was okay being from actual, you know, Indiana. And funny you say Hoosier because he was from the Bloomington area, so mm-hmm. where Indiana University's campus is. This one, not so much, right? So this is Blind Melon. They formed in L.A., but the lead singer of this band was from Lafayette, Indiana.
Lafayette, down here.
So up by Purdue.
Oh, I know where it's at, but I'm saying down here, it's Lafayette. It's Lafayette. Same thing in Mississippi.
You know who else is from Lafayette, Indiana? Was Axl Rose, which we heard earlier as well. So the lead singer of Guns N' Roses. Welcome to the Jungle. You know mm-hmm. that one?
I know that one.
Okay. So Axl Rose is from Indiana, Lafayette, Indiana.
Why we ain't got no Welcome to the Jungle?
We already played it. You missed it.
Welcome to the Jungle?
We played it last hour.
What is wrong with you?
I just want the lead in song. That's all I want. Everything else, I don't know.
Well, we started at the beginning, so I don't know what to tell you.
I wasn't paying no attention. But thank y'all for listening to us and allowing us to talk on your radio and on this Friday afternoon. We're going to be with you for about another hour or so, talking a little Colts and Saints and taking your phone calls, 504-260-1870 or text 870-870. We got to talk a little bit about the game and the injuries, but I want to get to the phone calls and let everyone voice their opinion, good or bad, and whether me and Zach agree, it doesn't really matter because we like to listen and talk and interact with you. And Billy, you're on WWL. Thanks for giving us a call.
Hey, Deuce. Hey, Zach. Love the show. God bless the Johnson family. Start out with that. And I kind of agree with Timothy. You know, I played 3 years semi-pro. I'm 57 years old. And what a lot of people don't understand in this game, there's so many intangibles and factors, you know, and for the guy to call in and say, oh, pull Gardner out and put a veteran in, what Sean does is he picks the best 11 players he feels that can do the job and puts them on the field. And at the beginning of the season, if anybody would have said, hey, how are you guys with a 10-3 record after 13 games? Everybody would have been all in for that. So the nitpicking and here and there, everybody just needs to calm down. We got a great team. We need to support them and stand behind them. And that's how I feel about that.
Yeah, Billy, I mean, here's the thing for me is – it's like everybody wants to find a fault somewhere. And it's always got to be who screwed up. We are so fascinated by finding the person to blame something on. And in reality, whether that's a coach or a player, and in reality, in the National Football League, sometimes you get beat. Right?
That's right.
So
and
I think
these people have ever strapped on a helmet and played on the field, they don't know, and they never will know. All they do is armchair quarterback, and then after a win or a loss, they're either up or down, and that's when they want to nitpick this play or that play. And again, it's guys out there doing the best they can at what they do.
Mr. Billy, I appreciate you. Thank you for the call, and I agree with you. It's always tough to be able to go out there and do that job. It's not an easy job, but – you know, that's what you sign up for. That's what you go out there and you try to do.
Yeah, and there's a big difference between the two of us sitting here and talking about what could have made that better, right? So we say,
being out on
just stay up on your feet, right? Go make the tackle. But that's very different from, oh, we should have been in a different defense, or right. oh, we should have had a different guy, or oh, we should have. Well, no. I mean, you're putting yourself in the best position that you think. Going in after the fact and saying everybody knew that Kittle was getting. What are you talking about? Kittle had 6 targets in that game.
No.
It's just, and in the second half, it was Deebo Samuel.
No.
So I think it's very easy to do that. It's very easy to try and find who are we going to blame for this screw up, quote unquote, when in reality, sometimes you get beat and good football teams can beat you.
It happens.
It happens.
This is WWL, Zach Streif and Deuce McAllister on Fans and the Pro. One more hour to go. Here on Fans and the Pro, Deuce McAllister and Zach Streif. We have the high school football, the All-State Sugar Bowl football prep classic coming up next. Alan Wydell and Brad Lumine will get you ready for the St. James and Jennings game, as well as Warren Eastern and Edna Carr tomorrow, and Acadiana and Destrehan, Oak Grove and White Castle. They're the first game, and then it's the Warren Eastern Carr game, and Acadian and Destrehan is the last game. That's our All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Classic. Today and tomorrow earlier, the Eagles beat Catholic 67-22. This is Deuce and Zach.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.